Welcome back to The New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is going to be the final podcast from the road. We're going to get political. We're going to talk about Super Tuesday. We're going to talk about the decision facing America in podcast 473 and some final thoughts about this trip and the state of the country and what's next. Well, one of the things I'm going to talk about in this podcast is development. And I've done this several times, talked about, you know, when I talk about prideofhomes.com, which is my real estate guy in the North Metro, I talk about development. But I'm telling you, when you get down into Florida and Texas and places that what I'm going to talk about in this podcast, the development is just amazing. And it's also true in the North Metro, in Minneapolis, in St. Paul. Every time I go up there, new stuff is being built, and I really can't believe the pace of development in the North Metro. And since change is a factor in real estate, sometimes it's a seller's market, sometimes it's a buyer's market, and recently, it was up to about 6 months ago, it was a seller's market in North Metro. Now it's a buyer's market. So if you're in the market to sell, but really, if you're in the market to buy, you got to have a real estate professional that understands the market on a house-to-house level, who understands the history and what's going on in the block. And so to that end, I want to introduce prideofhomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis Podcast. Prideofhomes.com is a licensed real estate agent and a real estate investor with expertise to share with you. And if you're looking to buy, if you're looking to sell, I'd want you to reach out and talk with Eric and Aram Lucero, husband and wife team with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com. They're in the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, Champlin, all through the North Metro 94 corridor. If you want real estate expertise, and I mean, you got to have it, Eric and Aram Lucero, 763-433-9100. That's 763-433-9100. Buying or selling. As I said, you need real estate professionals with knowledge of the market so that you can find a property that fits your needs, or you can find a buyer that actually can get the right financing and will go to close. That's what they do. As a husband and wife team, Eric and Aram Lucero can respond quickly. And when you put that all together with customer service, which people rave about at Luke Team Real Estate, you're going to be good to go. The North Metro is growing quickly. You got 94 and 610 expansions, the schools, you have access to both of the main markets, Minneapolis and St. Paul. So if you're looking to buy or sell property, reach out to Eric and Aram Lucero for real estate expertise. Eric and Aram Lucero, 763-433-9100. That's 763-433-9100. 763-433-9100 for real estate expertise. Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate. Visit prideofhomes.com today for more information, or you can just call them. I'll give you the number one more time, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100, and thanks for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. This has been a mega trip. I actually can't even remember all the places I've been, and if you've listened to the travel podcasts, you know that it's so easy to forget where you've been when you're traveling like this and you're moving so fast. I used to hear like rock stars and people who travel say, geez, they'd tell a story and somebody would say, well, where was that? And they'd say, you know what? I have no idea. I don't know where it was. Someplace out west or someplace down south. I understand that sentiment. So starting out in Iowa, Des Moines, Jefferson City, going to all kinds of political events, meeting all kinds of people, then off to Kentucky and Tennessee, into Virginia, North and South Carolina and Georgia, on down to Florida and Jacksonville, to the Keys in Florida, back up through the Everglades to Naples, Fort Myers, Sarasota, Tampa, St. Pete, through the Panhandle, on to Alabama and Mississippi, Mobile, Biloxi, Gulfport, Pass Christian, on to Louisiana and New Orleans, the coast of Texas at Galveston and the Bolivar Peninsula, on up through Central Texas, LaGrange and Waco, Dallas, Houston, all those places. And tonight, as I said, Norman, Oklahoma, which is the home of the Sooners, oddly enough. And all along this trip, either covering the 2016 primary races, reading about the 2016 primary races, getting to see the candidates up close, and the experience of standing in line with people who come to see candidates like Donald Trump, those are great podcasts to listen to if you want to experience what these campaigns were like, what they are like on the campaign trail firsthand. There's a lot to talk about. There's not a lot to like, in my view, about this kind of campaigning, and I'm going to talk about that in this podcast. I certainly learned a lot of things that are going to come in handy for the second half of the 2016 campaign. campaign, which really starts after the conventions in June, July, August, September, and October. And of course, as I said, tomorrow, probably by the time you hear this podcast, we will know what the outcome of Super Tuesday will be, which is that you would think this was the most important thing in the history of the United States. What is Super Tuesday, and why is it so important in the South? Primary elections in a dozen states and one U.S. territory. So we're talking about Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, and Virginia will hold contests for both parties. Republicans in Alaska will have caucuses. Democrats in Colorado will have caucuses. And finally, Democrats in American Samoa will be holding their nominating primaries. So, you know, you heard me mention a number of southern states: Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, Oklahoma, really a southwestern state, and of course, Virginia, the Old Dominion. So it's often been called a southern primary. Florida and some of these other key states down in the South will come a little bit later. And this is a week in which the country is awash in rhetoric, attacks, innuendo, and something called retail politics. And you know all about what I've clearly described retail politics in a lot of these podcasts. This is when we have what would only be described as a hermetically sealed event. Candidates and the surrogates give a memorized speech containing a lot of red meat for the adoring crowd of political actives who look like average everyday Americans. The candidates will not be available for questions. Most of the time, these crowds are actually very small, maybe 100 or so, sometimes 200 or 300. And they are pushed together into spaces slightly too small to hold them, so it looks good on TV. And it doesn't matter if it's Ted Cruz. The only exception to the rule is Donald Trump, because his approach has been to fill auditoriums as opposed to do these smaller retail events. And then, of course, behind the crowds, shooting the carefully prepared stages, are the phalanx of television cameras and reporters. And if a candidate does or says something controversial, there will be more cameras and more reporters, but there will always be a media presence at these events of some kind or another. Usually it's producers, stringers, and cameras run by crews, which don't include a reporter. Rarely anything approaching investigative journalists. There's not much substance, even in what we would call in-depth reporting. It's just what was said, what the campaign's going to do, where and when, and the sources are all on the trail. So it's the people on the campaign trail. It's the people in the campaign. Those are the sources. Reporters from digital media, network media, cable shows, international outlets, and major newspapers. Reporters whose main effort seems to be to talk to the people in the crowd. I've seen it every single time I covered one of these events, about why they're doing what they're doing, those people in the crowd, the great unwashed, and they don't know why they're doing what they're doing or what they're doing, really, most of the time. A stump speech, memorized and localized, a crowd of political activists invited, exhorted to attend, an introduction by a local dignitary, an instant television event. There you have retail politics. In Iowa, it was an orgy of media and politics, and the people who follow that sort of thing like one follows a band on the road. And who does it help? It helps Iowa. That's who it helps. In South Carolina, it tried to approach Iowa, but it couldn't because South Carolina is far too large and the cities are far too far apart for the TV trucks and reporters to make it back and forth from Charleston to Spartanburg on a day's notice while the candidates fly and the bus that they supposedly ride in so that they can be among the people meets them at the airport. Now, the candidates, media, and pollsters have fanned out across the South. Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, Texas, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, roadsides and bumper stickers, and I have driven through every single one of those states. And I've already told you what I see in terms of signs in those states. Let me just say a couple of things about those states. Let me talk about Florida, and let me talk about Georgia, and let me talk about South Carolina and North Carolina, and let me talk about Tennessee, and let me talk about Texas, because this is the new heart of the Midwest of this country. This is the new Indiana and Illinois and Pennsylvania and Ohio. Tampa, St. Pete, from Naples to Tallahassee is a metroplex. From Houston to Dallas is a metroplex. you know, Atlanta is a juggernaut. Georgia is a juggernaut. Kentucky is a juggernaut of towns like Louisville, Tennessee, Nashville, and Chattanooga. You know, places where new industry is cropping up, new plants are being built, and people are moving for jobs. And there is frantic media coverage of every little thing that is said and done down here, but very little statement as to the ultimate importance of the southern part of this country in this election. And you're going to see it emerge as the kingmaker in this election. Every endorsement, which can be bad or good, depending on who's doing the endorsing, every single misstep, most of the time, the in-depth reporting based on some B-roll shot by a stringer with some notes sent ahead to New York or Atlanta or wherever, some man on the street, and your perceptions of what you think you see. And the thing that disgusts me is everybody seems to know what we Americans are thinking. Everybody seems to know where we Americans are headed. Everybody seems to know what is going to happen to we Americans and America if this one is nominated or that one is nominated. It's driving me crazy. Then there are the statements. Millennials are socialists. Old white male Republicans are fascists, pushing for another Mussolini, or worse, they are members of the KKK in secret. High school educated Southerners is code in the media for dumb idiots. I've seen a huge chunk of this country this year, and I couldn't begin to tell you what people are thinking or what they believe or who they are or what they think or what their morality is or what their morals are. But that doesn't stop the media from telling all of us and the pundits from telling all of us what's happening, what's going to happen, what will happen to you when it happens, what you'll think about it when it happens, what America will think about that, and what should happen, as though they know, and they really don't. So on the eve of Super Tuesday, when your friends call you, or you call your friend up and ask this question, who should I vote for? Some thoughts to ground you, because I think it's really, really important to remember. You know, this, first of all, this is a giant country. Every time I come out and drive and go and visit and cover news stories and cover events like these primaries, you know, I'm reminded of, just in terms of driving over the spaces and the time that it takes to go from one end of a state or from the top to the bottom of a state or to visit different towns in a state. This is a gigantic country with a ton of people who have all kinds of different ideas about things. These elections are 50 individual elections. And as far as where we are right now, these candidates are not running for president. They call it that, but that's not what they're doing, as I mentioned in a previous podcast. They're running for delegates. The people who will represent that state at that state's party convention for Democrats or Republicans, or for that matter, Libertarians or whatever party, but mostly Republicans and Democrats. And especially on the Democrat side, they are coming into your state and your town to meet with people who are central to party politics, and it is very much an inside deal, and nobody is going to be allowed to know about it unless the candidates and their campaigns want to, or unless the candidate decides to release that information. They are here to run for these delegates that will supposedly come out of the primary or caucuses on the surface, but behind closed doors, what they're doing is talking to key donors and actives, and they are making deals, and they're doing it behind closed doors, and they're not doing it with transparency. Because remember, they're running for their party's nomination for president. What is a party? It's an institution. It is an organization of human beings with people in charge, with people who have money, with people who have power. And they wield that power, and they don't care who votes for what in what primary. But anyway, once the parties nominate a candidate, then we will have a real popular vote for the president of the United States. But again, the presidential election in the United States is a 50-state affair. And I've said this 100 times. Apparently, I have to keep saying it. 50 states are holding local elections, and the presidential candidates are on the ballot in those 50 states. Elections in these 50 states are controlled by state election law. By the way, there are also territorial elections, but there is no federal election until November of 2016. Even that is a 50-state affair, with the people who actually elect the president, members of the Electoral College being appointed by state legislators They're the ones that will actually choose the president. You don't choose the president. You vote as a check on the Electoral College. What you do choose is you choose your local politicians. You choose your local congressmen and senators and statewide offices and state senators and state representatives and governors in some states, depending on what the sequence is in terms of cycles for electing governors. The reason there is so much attention being paid to this race is that the media has generated attention to the Republican Party in particular because of a score or so of debates set up by the Republican Party, this institution, this organization of people with power, and a huge field of candidates for the Republicans who sure seemed great at the beginning. It sure sounded like a good idea at the beginning, but it has turned out to be quite mediocre by any measure, and it is really a maw. It is a mess of rhetoric and nonsense and screaming and pounding and yelling, and every crazy thing that could have happened has happened, and I fear every crazy thing that could happen will happen. This is Murphy's election. This at a time when it sure seems like Americans, if you at least look at some of the votes in the last few weeks, it seems like Americans are less and less patient with authority of any kind, and especially the people they see as entrenched politicians and the self-interested in the financial, entertainment, and government capitals. Apparently, we hate rich people. Apparently, we hate people with power. My sense is people in this country know less and less of what they need to know to decide who to vote for, largely because we waste our time watching endless hours of terrible television news coverage, TV news coverage, which is deeply flawed in that television favors the fire, the war, the conflict, the crisis, the face, and the head. The whole infrastructure of the commentariat, from cable news channels to websites, focuses on this conflict because this is what delivers clicks and views and interest. This is the fire on the prairie. This is the war in the mountains. This election is not going to be about issues. It is not going to flip suddenly and become about issues. It is going to be about personalities. It is going to be about retorts. It is going to be about scorched earth. It is going to be about dirt. It is going to be about conflict between two candidates, pretty much, and how they deal with that conflict. And it's probably going to be one of the worst elections in the history of this country. I can think of no better advertisement for xgovernmentcars.com than Mobile Podcast Command. This is the Ford 450 Super Duty diesel ambulance that Ed Johnson insisted that I get for my travels, and I'm so glad that I did. You know, the thing about these cars and trucks, the first thing that people said to me was, oh, these ex-government cars, they're road hard and put up wet. And years later, I've now had three Crown Vics and the Super Duty Ford ambulance, and I find them, you don't have to do that much maintenance. They're great vehicles. And of course, ex-government cars has a great selection. They're now open in Forest Lake at 356 19th Street, Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyotas, and more. Fast financing for all credit levels at ex-government cars and ex-governmenttrucks.com. Work trucks, SUVs, vans, and more. They've got the three-day peace of mind guarantee, so you can buy with confidence. They take trades. They pay the highest values, in fact, for trades every day without all the bull. If you bring in your tax return right now because it's tax time, they'll count it as a down payment and you'll be ready to roll. And if you combine that with the financing, there's just no reason to go out and buy a brand new car when you can get a fully maintained, government maintained, and then fleet ready for you through ex-government cars, ex-government car, or ex-government truck. Once again, they're open in Forest Lake at 356 19th Street, 763-777-8782, xgovernmentcars.com.
xgovernmentcars.com.
So, in spite of all of the rhetoric and the nonsense and the screaming and the fact that you go into a casino in Oklahoma to see if there's a restaurant there and on the screens are Fox News while people in their 60s mindlessly put quarters into one-armed bandits and play cards and, you know, just sit there and vegetate. That's just one way that Americans are going about their daily business, because in spite of all this, we are doing what we do. And I am here to tell you that despite what is being said, the country is not falling apart. And while all of this is going on, there is a new infrastructure being born, and it's not highways, and it's not trains, and it's not things like that. It's the digital infrastructure and the businesses that are being created to serve it. People who write apps, people who have businesses devoted to faster internet next to their bait shop, or places advertising their Wi-Fi, computer, and phone repair, even in towns like LaGrange, Texas. And all that entails, there is a new country coming demographically, socially, and technically. And really, the only question is, how soon does it come? And really, the only thing we need is to have the government get out of the way so we can bring it as quickly as possible, because it means prosperity. The changes, some are going to be good and some aren't going to be good, but they are coming whether we like it or not. At least, that's the way I see it. Instead, the choice we're being offered, I think, includes a socialist who claims not to be a socialist, a real estate developer who has promised single-payer health care the government will pay for, and to build a wall that Mexico will pay for, and claims not to be a socialist, two senators who promise an expansion of the U.S. military and some kind of military adventure in Iraq in an effort to, quote, destroy ISIS without ever saying what the actual military mission will be, and they all are people who claim to be Reaganite capitalists and not socialists, but they want big government abroad. So there's a lot that doesn't make much sense. Both mainline political parties in the United States are desperate to stop insurgency campaigns because people do not like these milquetoast moderate candidates who talk about Reagan and act like Roosevelt. On the left, a self-described democratic socialist demands the Democrats provide yet more programs for common people with huge tax increases on rich people, that is, people who collectively make over $200,000 a year, because they're going to pay for it. On the right, the establishment continues to work the neoconservative interventionist playbook in foreign policy with a muddled economic agenda that doesn't reduce government power and doesn't allow for the development of the new economy that is desperately needed. Clinton is the Democrats' Bush. The Republicans are talking about a third-party candidacy or even asking Mitt Romney to run again if Donald Trump is nominated. And yet, the people so far clearly have demonstrated they do not want the establishment candidates, even Ted Cruz, at least on the Republican side. And there are signs of huge convention fights for the mainline parties on both sides of the political spectrum. Is this healthy? Do people understand that these are fights for delegates and that this is a convention fight? I don't know. You will have to decide if people understand. I think a lot of people think this is an election that's happening right now, and it's not. These are votes held to determine party endorsement, and nothing more and nothing less. Are people angry out here? Well, I got to tell you, I'm not really seeing the anger. You know, I deal with a lot of people. I'm talking to a lot of people, and they're very nice, and they don't seem angry. I think 60-plus white male Republicans who are active in the Republican Party are furious. But there's more to it than just hating Obama. I think the fact is that for many people of a certain age in this country, their time is passing, and most of them don't know what to do about it because most of them don't realize that their time is passing. They still think they're 30 years old. Behind them are their children, 60 million 20-somethings with completely different ideas about what government should be and is, completely different ideas about society, completely different ideas about collaboration. My sense is that the mainline parties, and especially Republican rank and file, have simply lost the ability to reason, to make cogent arguments, and do not know anymore what they stand for. So the leaders, the people in Washington that are running those parties, have no idea what they stand for either. Both of them just want someone who can win, someone who exemplifies that meme, that one-liner, that silver bullet retort on Twitter and Facebook that leaves everybody else speechless. And behind those people are the talk show and the TV charlatans and the politicians eager to endorse, to campaign for, to tell you what to do on primary day in your state and presumably on election day this fall. People who have a penchant for naming what this candidate represents and is and what that candidate represents and is. Populist. What's a populist? Say it very quickly. What's a populist? Fascist. What's a fascist? Quickly. What's a fascist? Authoritarian. What's that? Traditional Democrat. What's that? Bush Republican. Really? What's a Bush Republican? Clinton Democrat. What's that? A Jacksonian Democrat. That's what they're saying Trump is. He's really a Jacksonian Democrat, and he's activating the Jacksonian core of the country, even though places like Tennessee and Kentucky and Florida and Texas have seen huge numbers of people move from the northern tier, but somehow they're still Jacksonian over 200 years later. Blue collar appealer, that's another one. Well, he or she appeals to the working class in this country. If you're listening to these people, ask yourself, why do you need someone to tell you who to vote for? Why do you need someone to fast for a candidate for you? Why is it that someone else has to make the arguments? Why do you look outside yourself for people to endorse a candidate so you'll believe that person is okay? What do you stand for? What does your party stand for? What happens when the personality at the core of the cult of personality, after being elected, uses the enormous and pernicious power extant in our federal government and our state governments to solve a problem in a way that you never could have predicted, with unpredictably disastrous results? What will you say then? Will you say, well, you know, Glenn Beck was wrong, or I don't know, Rush Limbaugh told me to vote for him? Will you say, why doesn't Congress do something? And now suddenly Congress is the savior and the courts are the savior after people have pilloried them and poured acid on them all the years since we've had President Obama and even before. Where are the grassroots? Where are the movements that provide the philosophical underpinning for these political parties? Well, I'll tell you where they are. The grassroots movements are what didn't get built because everybody was pushing for the meme, the guy who could make the argument, the guy who was the TV star, the guy who captured everybody's attention and captured the moment, so we didn't have to build a grassroots movement. This country needs new leadership. It needs new citizenship. It needs a new philosophy behind its government. We need to reduce and not expand the pernicious power of government. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because our government is so large, it can no longer do what it is supposed to do, which is defend our borders, keep the country secure, and protect our constitutional rights. That's the reason for our government, to defend our constitutional rights. But it can't do that, but it is quite capable of doing what it is not supposed to do. Spy on us, detain us, choke us with regulation, make policy decisions with terrible results without representation by fiat, and the list goes on and on and on, whether it is the Federal Reserve, the Department of Education, the Department of the Interior, the presidency. Our government has become a debtor. It has become a debt queen. It is $19 trillion in debt. Entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, Obamacare, and all kinds of tax breaks and benefits for the nearly 50% or more of this population that pays little or no tax will drown this government in debt by the middle of the 21st century. Eventually, it will simply collapse from its own weight. If we don't want that to happen, if we do want a government that protects our constitutional rights, we are going to have to figure out how to cut the Gordian knots of regulation and control of local businesses, towns, and counties by unelected planning councils, which report to suzerains from Washington. We need a completely new approach to security and defense that does not enslave us. We need people in government who are sworn servants, not profit-seeking whores. We need those kinds of people to seek office, not the passel of prostitutes who inhabit most of the legislative seats in our states and our federal government. Yes, they are prostitutes. People who need to understand that we can't fix what's wrong until we reduce control and power of the government. And that isn't going to happen until the people settle on an idea, an operating system, and a way forward. And I got news for you. It's not a constitutional convention that solves that problem. It's us. We have to solve it. And I've been saying this and saying this and saying this, that a new world is coming, and we better get out in front of it. And it's us that have to do it. It's not the politicians in Washington. It's the individual. So we need someone who releases the power of the individual. That's what is key. Do we have that right now? Being angry and frustrated is not this idea. It is not a way forward. So enjoy the cage match from Super Tuesday on, and enjoy an election that will be about personalities and people and not issues. And better luck in 2020. And goodbye from the road, from real America in central Oklahoma for now. And thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 473. Well, I am podcasting live from Mobile Podcast Command on the road in Oklahoma. And of course, this will be the third trip for Mobile Podcast Command, my Ford 450 Super Duty diesel ambulance, which came from ex-government cars. And I want to tell you again, they're open in Forest Lake at 356 19th Street. They've got Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyotas, and more. Fast financing. You bring in your tax return, it counts as your down payment. When you combine that with the fast financing for all credit levels, you're good to go. Exgovernmenttrucks.com in Forest Lake. They take trades and pay the top value for trades without any BS. 356 19th Street in Forest Lake, 763-777-8782. Exgovernment Trucks and exgovernmentcars.com.
Exgovernmentcars.com.
Don't forget Eric and Aram Lucero at prideofhomes.com and Luke Team Real Estate. If you're looking for a house or looking to sell a house in the North Metro, this is the company, these are the people that you have to reach out to talk to. For real real estate expertise, contact the husband and wife team, Eric and Aram Lucero, 763-433-9100. That's 763-433-9100. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. And thank you for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, GCNLive.com for the Bob Davis Podcast radio show, which will soon be premiering in Minneapolis on the radio. I'll tell you more about that as we get closer to it. And thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I'm BDavis7843, and thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Well, I feel better. I hope you do, too.